Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some people find offering time troubling. They may give grudgingly to not appear cheap in the eyes of others. What's your reason to contribute? The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. What kind of giver are you? Today we'll find out. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as Erwin Lutzer talks further about believing in the harvest and the reasons why some people are not cheerful givers.
Now, if you're not a cheerful giver, let me tell you something about you. First of all, I would think that you probably have some low-grade anger. You may have anger against the church, against God, resentment of rich people, resentment because of the hand that you have been dealt. You may have a spirit of greed. Any one of those things may apply. And so you can't give cheerfully. You may even give, but it's because of guilt or because of necessity. You do not give cheerfully, hilariously. We like to emphasize that because that's the root word here. That doesn't mean that you hold your head back and you laugh. It means simply that you're glad to give and wish that you could give more and have such a sense of freedom when it comes to giving. That's what it means to give cheerfully. And if you're in that category where you can't do that, I have a good assignment for you. Get on your knees and just let it all out before God. Confess how you feel. Confess how you feel about money, about how you feel about life, how you feel about your past experiences which have hampered you, and get it all out there and leave it before the Lord, because God loves cheerful givers. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, all right, you said that giving is sowing, but where do we get the seed? Well, I'm glad you asked. As in most instances, you'll notice that the Bible always has answers to questions that we ask. Notice what it says in verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. You get it from God. And when you get paid at the end of two-week period or the end of the month, that is a gift of God that God has supplied. Remember, giving is sowing. You will see it again. Well, then the Apostle Paul goes on to talk about the fact that there will be a harvest. There's going to be reaping. Now, I need to say some things here to clear the decks and to clarify. If you've ever watched much television, you know that there are TV evangelists who teach something like this, that you are to sow a seed. And the way in which you sow a seed is to send money to them, and then what will happen is God will give it all back to you, and then they have story after story about a person who gave $100, and within 2 weeks God gave him $1,000, and on these stories go. That's manipulative. And it's intended to simply be a high-octane fundraising phenomenon. And it is. My friend, they have taken an excellent principle, but they've hijacked it. And let me explain to you why. In the Bible, there is no guarantee that there is a one-to-one correspondence, a tight connection between what you give and what God is going to give back to you in financial return. Years ago, I read a book entitled How to Give Your Way to Prosperity. And I say, if you're talking about material prosperity, no, 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 no. These evangelists, they don't believe what they themselves are saying. Can you imagine that? If it was a guarantee that if you give money to their organization, it's all going to come back to you, they would be mortgaging their houses to invest in their own organization, knowing then that they'd have tons of money back. But they don't do that, do they? And they don't tell you the stories of the people who give $1,000 or $100 who never get any of it back. And so that is deception. But they do have a principle that is biblical. And the biblical principle is that there is not a tight connection between I give $10 and now God owes me $100. That's not the connection. But there is a connection between sowing and reaping, and the harvest, according to this passage, is nothing less than abounding, abundant grace poured upon your life if you are a cheerful giver. Now, your Bible is open, because this promise is so wonderful, you have to see it in the text with your own eyes. Notice it says this: God loves a cheerful giver, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Let's look at it phrase by phrase. And God is able, that shows you the power of it, to make all grace abound, that's the measure of it, toward you, that's the direction of it, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times is the extent of it, that you may abound in every good work, that's the ministry of it. You are a cheerful giver. God is going to get back to you, and the harvest will be this abounding grace that is promised here in the text. It may include money. Sometimes it remarkably includes money. Sometimes it doesn't. But the grace of God will be upon your life. I noticed it just this morning in rereading the text. It's amazing how you see things. It says God is able to make all grace abound, verse 8, and you'll notice at the end of the verse, and that you may abound. So God abounds in our lives in grace, and we in turn abound. It's all about abounding and a plentiful harvest. Now, the question is, exactly what does this mean so far as the text is concerned? What does it look like to receive this very special harvest? Well, let's look at the text. It says, first of all, that we will receive righteousness. It says in verse 9, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. By the way, in the Psalms, this is a description of a generous man. He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And now here's the promise, verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. One of the fruits that you will receive is the harvest of righteousness. This is not the righteousness of God which is received by faith. This isn't a matter of saying that this is the way we're saved. It is through giving. No, that's not the way it happens. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that referred to here is right living. So that you see, as you have a generous heart, as you take all that God has given to you and to me, and as we lift it up to God with open hands, so that we say, God, this truly is yours. It really does belong to me. Now give me wisdom as to what to do with it. When we do that, there is a righteous kind of living with an open heart that permeates all of our lives. And I wouldn't doubt but that part of the bountiful harvest that is talked about is the impact in the lives of our children, in the lives of our grandchildren, in the lives of our relatives, in the impact in the church, because God says, I will give you the harvest of righteousness. I'll give you the harvest of right living. And then there's another harvest that is coming, and that is glory to God. Now, here I'm going to have to read the text. Remember, he's going to be talking about the saints that live in Jerusalem, and how glad they are going to be at this very special gift given by these two churches. And now let's look at it very carefully. You'll notice it says, you will be enriched in every way, verse 11, for all of your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, grace that has come because you were a cheerful giver. Now, think about this for a moment. What Paul is saying is that when these believers receive the gift, they are going to give thanksgiving to God. I mean, imagine this. They're receiving a gift from Gentiles, from people who whom they've never met and never will meet, because we're talking about cities that were hundreds of miles apart in the ancient world. And they are going to receive these funds, the saints are, and they are going to give thanks, and they're going to say glory to God because of your gift. So Paul says, God will get glory because of what you've done in the lives of these saints. You know, it's something like giving today, isn't it? As you know, we recently took an offering for some orphans at an orphanage in Africa, and a very generous offering, I might add. And I can imagine that when that gift comes, and apparently it's enough to sustain them for a whole year, I can imagine that when that gift comes, they offer glory to God and praise to God, and they in turn pray for us, which is what the text says. As a matter of fact, this happens with our orphanage that we help supply and support in India. Those little girls, I was so humbled when I was told that when I was going through some problems with my eye, that those little girls were praying for me and rejoicing at the gifts that we have given and the help that we have supplied, and they give thanksgiving and they give glory to God. And that's part of the harvest that God is talking about here. And I can imagine here at Moody Church, part of the harvest is not just in the far-flung mission fields of the world, but there are families that are giving glory to God because of the ministry of our family ministries here at the church. There are people who are giving glory to God. There are students, there are university students who come here, college students, and they are giving glory to God because our generosity enables them to have a place to worship and to learn. And all the way down the line, our children, our families, our singles, our college students, all of them and all of us together giving glory to God because of our generosity and because we are committed to the needs of the saints. Yes, my friend, I hope that you also are committed to the needs of the saints. These messages were preached with the intention of helping all of us put into perspective this matter of money, this sensitive matter of finances. We are living at a very difficult time, and I'm simply urging you to look around, find those who have needs, and if you are able, help them. And we are so grateful for those who partner with us in our ministry, and also for this radio network that has been a blessing to so many people. Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you will join us next time as we continue and conclude the message, Believing in the Harvest. We believe in the harvest, and I hope you do too. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Believing in the Harvest, the last of four messages in a series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, why supporting your local church is the best way to ensure a strong financial base for the worldwide work of God. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.